Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council meeting of Monday, December 17th, 2007 to order. We will begin the meeting with an invocation led by Pastor Gregory Dansby of the Holy Temple Church of God in Christ, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance, and I will be leading the pledge this evening. I don't see any Boy Scouts. So would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge.
Most gracious God, we thank you for another day that you have blessed us to see. We thank you for our lives, our health, our strength. We thank you, God, for the gathering of this meeting on this evening. God, we ask you to bless the mayor of this city, as well as all the council members and each and every one that assists them in even setting this meeting together. God, we ask you to bless them, O God, as they make decisions, O God, not just only on tonight, but in each and every day and their walk, as they carry out the duties that the people of this city have put their confidence in them to do. We ask you to give them grace and mercy as they go through their day to make the decisions and to do what is needed to be done. We shall give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor, because we thank you, God, for just allowing us this opportunity. And we thank you for each and every one of the gifts that have been brought together by this council setting and these council members. We ask you to bless each and every one of these men and women as they strive to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I need to move that flag out there. It's there. I peered around the corner. It's there.
Somebody checked it and didn't turn around to say it's gone. All right. Okay. The next item is the reading of the consent agenda. I do notice that we have an item 8D, which is probably a little bit more controversial than some. I've asked if there could be speakers for the two groups. I'll allot you some extra time if you're going to be representing multiple people in the audience this evening. So when that item comes up, if you do have a speaker that is designated for the group, I'll certainly give them some additional time to address the council on that item. So let's go ahead and proceed with the consent agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 4A, act on liquor license application for Arizona Craft Brewers Guild for a one-day fundraising event. Item 4B, add new restaurant license for Guru Palace Cuisine of India, 2048 East Baseline Road, number 1. Item 5A, act on contract for 6 replacement vehicles, $125,054.88. Item 5B, act on contract for 7 pickup trucks, $164,682.81. Item 5C, act on contract for 5-year Pierce Fire Apparatus Master Purchase Agreement, $300,000 annually. Item 5D, act on contract for 29 700 to 800 megahertz portable radios, $133,368.05. Item 5E, act on 3-year supply contract for ultra-thin bond-wearing cores, $3,824,037.51 annually. Item 5F, act on 3-year supply contract for ferrous chloride, $853,776 annually. Item 5G, act on 2-year renewal supply contract for sodium hypochlorite, $372,640 annually. Item 5H, act on contract for CAP water treatment plant reservoir number 1 modifications, $497,860. Item 5I, act on contract for publicity pamphlet sample ballot mailer printing, $26,963.38. Item 5J, act on contract for 46 VHF band portable radios, $118,835.69. Item 6A, introduced ordinance for January 7th, amend Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 6B, introduced ordinance for January 7th, zoning case Z07113, 1500 South Alma School Road for a freeway monument sign. Item 6C, introduced ordinance for January 7th, zoning case Z07115, 3061 North Sossaman Road for a rezone. Item 6D, introduced ordinance for January 7th, zoning case Z07116, 6860 East Warner Road for a bank. Item 7A, act on resolution for reimbursement of $112,000 for regional street lighting and street improvements. Item 7B, act on resolution for reimbursement of $68,240.70 for regional street lighting. Item 7C, act on resolution to grant power distribution easement to SRP at 5030 East Falcon Drive. Item 7D, act on resolution to extinguish public utility easement at 1855 South Signal Butte Road. Item 7F, act on resolution for cooperative law enforcement training operations among public agencies. Item 7G, act on resolution for amendment to the highway safety contract. Item 7H has been deleted. Item 8C, act on ordinance zoning case Z07-91, 905 West Broadway Road for site plan modification. Item 8E, act on ordinance zoning case Z07-111, 6147 East Main Street to expand existing office development. Item 10A, act on subdivision plat Escalante at Mountain Bridge, 8200 East McKellips Road. Item 11, act on approving amendment number 1 to the photo safety enforcement agreement with ATS. Item 11.1, act on accepting city's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2007. Mayor and council members, these were the items on the consent agenda.
Were there any items read that need to be pulled from the consent?
Mayor, there's one gentleman, a Jerry Gant, who said he is here for 4A, which is on consent. If you want any input from him, he'd be glad to offer it. But
okay. All right. Does any council member wish to pull a consent agenda? All right. Do I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Council Member Summers for approval of the consent agenda as read? Would you please vote? The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The first item then that was not included on consent would be item 3A. That's zoning case, well, it's actually to conduct a public hearing, to release petitions for signatures for the following proposed annexations. And that is annexation 07-23 in District 5. It's annexing land located west of Hawes Road, south of McDowell Road, 1.13 acres, initiated by the property owner, Thomas Kane. Are there any requests to speak during the...
I have no requests, Mayor.
All right. Public hearing? All right. Did anyone this evening come to address the council on the public hearing for the proposed release of annexation signatures? All right. Then I'll go ahead and declare the public hearing closed on that issue. The next item that was not read into consent that we have to act on this evening is on page 7. That would be item 7E. And this is approving and authorizing the city manager to approve the assignment, assumption, and amendment of lease and leaseor's consent for prehab DBA A New Leaf for East Valley Men's Center. Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Mayor. Prehab, doing business as A New Leaf, is a customer of my security business. Therefore, I'll be declaring a conflict and not discussing or voting.
Okay. Don't have any requests to speak on this item. I do have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Vice Mayor Walters. All right, seeing no indication for council discussion, would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention, so it does pass, with Councilmember Whalen abstaining because of a potential conflict of interest. The next item is also on that page, item 7I, that's calling for the November 4th, 2008 special election. And we have a potential conflict with Councilmember Truitt.
Mayor, our engineering firm does work for the city of Mesa, and a couple of our projects are those that are listed in there, so I'll be declaring a conflict on this item and not voting.
Okay. All right. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, assuming that there are no speakers, I am going to make a motion for approval of the ballot questions that are in Exhibit A1 with the amended amount on the street bonds, the corrected amount to $230,600,000. Do I need to read these, Ms. Spinner, or was that sufficient information?
That's sufficient, Vice Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's open it up for comment. I do have a motion by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Vice Mayor Walters.
Yeah, we actually might want to reverse that. Yeah,
switch them around. That's fine.
Yeah, my finger's a little too fast this evening.
Okay, we're going to do it again. Okay, now you can.
There we go. Now I'm better.
All right, we'll reverse that. Motion by Walters, seconded by Summers. Discussion on this item? Let me just point out that this is going to be election in November 4th, 2008. The reason this I will be supporting this is it lets all of the candidates that are running for office know that this council thought it was important enough to call the election in advance so that the discussion can take place also during the campaigns as they run for mayor and run for council. They have about a 2-week window when they take office on June 2nd that they can change this if they so desired. But with only 2 weeks to make, or it's approximately 2 weeks to get the time frame in line so that it would be on the ballot in November, I didn't think it was enough time to thoroughly discuss and have everybody know what that issue was and the depth that this council does, having worked on most of those issues for at least 4 years. So that's why I'm supporting this going out for consideration to be put on the November 4th, 2008 special election ballot. I think our city needs that type of revenue source that has a direct bearing, to, for me at least, on the services that will be rendered for especially fire, police, and road constructions that will be outlined for this ballot. So it does have my support. Councilmember Rawls.
Mayor, I just want to take an opportunity to respond to a couple of emails I got about why are we being so arrogant to put this on the ballot when we're not going to be here when it's voted on. And I think the answer lies in two simple factors. One, as the mayor said, if we want to get these on the November 8th ballot of 2008, or November 2008, there's only about a 2-week time frame, and it would be very difficult for that new council to get up to speed to put all the pieces together that are necessary to move it forward in a logical and thoughtful manner. But that new council that takes office in June can both cancel this election if they want, they can modify the amounts if they want, they can change things around if they want. But we thought it was important because there are some things in this package that are truly critical, and we actually delayed some of them from 2007 in order to get the consensus that we needed. So that's why we're doing it, and I think it's important for people to understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, I have a motion and second. There's no speakers. Would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes with 1 abstention from Councilmember Truitt, so it does pass. All right, next item is on page 8, item 8A, and this is amending Title 7, Chapter 2 of the Mesa City Code relating to the Mesa City Code. Relating to the Mesa Fire Code is recommended by the General and Economic Development Committees. Comes forward with a 2-1 vote. And we have a motion by Councilmember Summers, second by Councilmember Jones for approval. We had some discussion at the study session downstairs. Is there any other council discussion now? It had to do with shell buildings and fire codes and opt-out provisions and such. So have a motion and second. Would you please vote? I don't have any speakers on 8A.
No speakers, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Would you please vote? The vote is 5 ayes and 2 nays, with Councilmember Rawls and myself voting nay. Next item is 8B. This is amending Title 4, Chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 of the Mesa City Code relating to the Mesa Building Codes as recommended by the General and Economic Development Committees. Have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Discussion. This one, I believe, had to do a little bit. We didn't get too much into it with some of the, or at least the part that I dissected was to get to the, I think it's called LEED, environmental friendly buildings, and how the city would rebate some of the fees if they qualified for different type of environmental standards. And I have a little difficulty with that because I think they should be doing that for their own reasons and their own corporate concerns for the environment and not necessarily for a government incentive. So if you're going to save energy, I would hope you do it because it's cost effective and you're concerned about the environment, not because you're getting an incentive from the city of Mesa to do so. So I am not going to be supporting this proposal. Councilmember Rawls.
Mayor, I agree with everything you said, but that's actually on item 9B.
Yeah, that's what I was
Oh, really?
This is just a mirror of the issue that we just voted on under 9A or 8A. It's in the building code rather than the fire code.
And so you're absolutely right. I have my notes on the other page.
Yeah, it's exactly the same issue.
Let me hold that speech for a little later.
Well, you only get one.
Thank you, Mayor, because I got really confused. I started looking
everybody's
through this.
Through?
Yeah.
Okay, what 8B is
just the mirror image of 8. It's making the same changes in the building code that were in the fire code in 8A.
No.
There's two different codes.
Well, then that has to do with the
the issues that we just talked about.
Issue shell buildings from downstairs. All right. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I was on the wrong page.
So that we don't get confused, 9A is the same issue in a different section.
As 9B.
And then, no, 9A is, and then 9B is the one dealing with the LEEDs.
All right.
Right.
Okay. Well, that being said, I don't think it changes the vote anyway, so. All right. Have a motion and second. Would you please vote? Councilmember Walters. Vote is 5 ayes and 2 nays, with Rawls and myself voting nay. All right. That puts us over to, that would take us down to 8D. This is 1234 West University Drive in District 1. It's zoning case Z07-102, and it's located west of Alma School Road on the north side of University Drive, 0.17 acres. This is a council use permit, and this request will allow the development of a pawn shop. And Brian Shane is the representing the applicant. Is Brian okay? And this is one that comes forward with recommendation of 5-1 denial from the P&Z board. So, Brian, do you want to kick this off?
Yes, sir.
My name's, Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Brad Shane. I'm the CEO of Pawn Exchange, which is actually Maxit Financial. We're the same company. I started the company 15 years ago with one store, with a fundamental belief that you have a stigmatized business that has an opportunity to change. And I've spent the last 15 years of my life building 30 stores, changing that vision, changing that image, changing that stigma. We've been tremendously successful up in Seattle by changing the stigma of a pawn shop. We don't sell firearms, we don't loan on them, we don't handle them whatsoever, we don't, deal with any kind of merchandise like that, so to speak. Our stores are well merchandised. We have 300 employees, all have families, all have kids. Our stores are what I would call G-rated. You can bring your families in. They're very comfortable. And what we've been doing in Seattle, where we have 26 stores, we have frankly impacted that market so intensely that all the other pawn shops are either coming up to our level and or they're going out of business, because basically they can't compete. Or the customer makes the choice to come to our stores versus going into a seedy pawn shop. Frankly, I was telling my wife what I was doing tonight on the phone, and she says, I wouldn't want one of those old type pawn shops, frankly, either. But I know how your stores are. You spend a lot of money on them. You spend typically $250,000 building them out. We have very successfully changed the image of pawn shops in Seattle. And we have 4 stores here in Arizona, 1 in Mesa, Tempe, Peoria, and Phoenix. And we're quite successful about doing that here. So I guess I'm asking for your consideration for a council use permit. Obviously happy to answer questions about our business. I've also, a lot of my employees are here to speak on behalf of the company, and they can tell you a little about who we are, as well as our landlord. Eric Nelson. I'd like to bring him up. I think he'd like to say a few things, if that's all right.
Please. Thank Eric, you. I've got your card here. I have cards from all the employees. Do they each wish to take 3 minutes, or did you want to recognize them as a group or pick out a spokesperson? How did you want to do it tonight?
Well, I think what would be most efficient for you, Mr. Mayor, would you probably just one person?
If you could, please.
Okay, yes.
All right. I'm not recognizing you at this time, so let's go ahead over here. Eric?
Great. Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council. Real briefly, how much time are you going to allow me? Because I don't want to get too deep in this and miss some really important
usually issues. You take
5 minutes, maybe, at
I'd
best.
I'd say 10 minutes. If you're going to be the spokesperson for the group, I'll
Great.
Usually it's three, but we'll allow you 10 minutes. If it takes a little more than that, and the group is not going to each individual person on the card speak.
He's the property owner.
Landlord.
I understand. Yes, you're representing, you're in favor of the pawn shop at that location,
Absolutely.
Correct? Are you representing the employees or not?
No, I'm not.
Then you have 3 minutes.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. I will rush through this then and apologize if I miss anything. Good evening. My name is Eric Nelson. I'm the Vice President of Entitlements and the partner with Red Mountain Retail Group. First, I want to thank the council for taking the time to make a decision tonight based more on facts, not on perceptions. Based on what's best long-term as opposed to what's better now. And really want to thank those who have taken the time to really think through this issue, because I think when you bring a pawn shop forward, such as Brad's, you've got more than just the pawn issue. You've got a pawn shop that operates well above the norms, that in any, I don't think anybody can argue that what he brings to the table here is much better than the stuff that we have in the neighborhood. And would hope that the decision tonight is based on that and not just based on this idea that we have an over-concentration, and by denying this application, you don't create any more pawn shops. You know, Red Mountain Retail Group owns 10 properties within the city limits of Mesa. We own approximately 500,000 square feet of retail property and contribute a combined $3 million a year in tax revenue to the city. And for those of you who took the time to talk with me, I appreciate it. It's really encouraging when elected officials take time to listen to their constituents. I'm going to race through this and really boil that, try to boil this down to why I believe a yes is in order tonight. And it's very simple but complicated. First, I rarely spend the time to do what I'm doing tonight. Usually when a situation comes up like this with our tenants, we wish them the best of luck. I call my leasing team and I encourage them to start looking for new tenants. In this case, though, we felt so strongly about Brad and what Brad does as a company and as a tenant that we are spending the time and have spent the time to truly understand the issues, spend time in the neighborhoods, and come up with options and solutions for the concerns of the community. In essence, what we've tried to do is create more of a win-win situation instead of a must-win. You know, as we understand it, one of the concerns is over-concentration. The other concern, really, and the one that I think we're here to talk about tonight, because I can't address over-concentration, it exists. While we meet the standards set forth in the council use permit for distancing, there's still this perception that the 7 or 8 pawn shops that are within a mile and a half are too many as it is. But the other issue really is about this instance where the property or the use permit runs with the land. And so what we've forwarded to the community and will forward tonight to this council is to not only deed restrict this property, but ask this council to institute conditions that would address these concerns. Conditions like no guns and no pornography. Conditions such as limited hours of operation. And in speaking with Brad earlier tonight, the other condition that Brad's willing to adhere to, because he believes so strongly in the Maxit name, is to remove the pawn out of the name. So it wouldn't be part of his business trade dress or any of his signage. With that said, you know, we've come forward and we've said, we'll do whatever you want. We're doing it not because we're desperate, but because we're in deep competition with centers like Riverview, who are taking tenants from us because it's bigger, it's better, it's newer, and it's brighter. And if we start pushing tenants out who want to be here, we're going to be in a pretty tough situation. And as a landlord, that's a little scary. I know my time is up, so I thank you tonight for taking this into your consideration and for your favorable vote.
Okay. You're going to act as a spokesperson for part of the group?
Spokesperson.
All right, please.
Do I have 10 minutes?
You do. And what okay. is your name, please?
I'm Jeff Bajan, the store manager at Maxit Pawn on Mesa Drive in Southern.
Okay, why don't you recognize the people that you're representing? If you want to stand so we can see who's there that you do that for us.
We have our area manager here, some other store managers,
okay.
And we also have some customers on more on the retail side that rely on us for their businesses.
All right, thank you. Please go ahead.
I think I would like to start just on my personal experience with pawn shops is that when I did the interview, I didn't know that I was really going to a pawn shop. And it scared me. And I actually called my wife and told her it's a pawn shop, and she said, why don't you just brush up on your interview skills, which I did. And on the interview process, I was really educated on the business. And because there's that, you know, pawn shop, you hear that word. And after the interview and getting some knowledge in the business and how it really works, it made me feel comfortable that this business has actually been around for hundreds of years, I believe. One of the first business transactions in history. And I know that from my experience, I've come from retail most of my life, and working with the public and customers, and I'm losing my train of thought. The philosophy of it, they've taken an old business and made it right, whereas other businesses have taken advantage of people, and I could see the down part of it, but they've made it right. I would never work for the company if they dealt with guns. I've been always nervous around guns. So there is no guns involved. And what I like is they created a family-oriented retail store. And they've made products available for individuals that can't afford full retail prices. I took some notes here. I could point out a couple of benefits of small businesses. On a daily basis, I deal with small businesses, and they rely on us for tools of the trade. And also a lot of the small businesses also use us as a storage facility. Instead of, they use our store to store it. They can get money at the same time and store it at our place. So I would have to say that, let me take a look here. We work well with the police department. I work well with Detective Milbourne. And we've always, as a company, took the back seat of the victim. We always support the victim, and we want them before us. I would say that in bringing Max upon, it sets the bar high, really high. And I think that's why the company is successful. I know in Seattle, I actually started in Seattle and transferred here 2 years ago. And they set the bar high, and I know that they can do that down here as well. It would really have to, the other pawn shops that I've seen, because I do check them out, they are my competitors, and there's just no comparison whatsoever. And we're very, very customer-oriented. We always do the right thing. It's a Seattle-based company. We pay very well. There's 401k. Plan as well, full benefits. So those are some of the benefits of it. I would have to say that really educate your on the business, and I would invite any of you guys to the store, and I give you a tour and educate actually how it works. Anybody in this room that wants a personal tour, I can teach them and educate them about the business. Max at Pawn is not the typical pawn shop, you know, with the bars and the guns, and just it's somewhere that you could bring your kids and feel comfortable. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I did have cards from Sandy Boone, Darlene, I think it's Sanders. I have that right. Patty Brady, Carolyn Harder, Ryan O'Connell, Debbie Kaith, Jeff Beijing, Michelle Hickman, Diane Smith, Mian, and I'm not sure how the last name is. Great penmanship, but I'm not sure how you. Is it true? That's a
Trudell.
T? All right, the T runs into Trudell. Jaina Soborva, and Lisa Ridgway. I assume that was the group that you were representing and that is in support, but were there any other speakers in that group that is not being represented by the speaker here this evening? Okay. Yes.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, some of those folks were actually property owners in the area in support of our business.
Oh, okay.
They're not necessarily our employees, frankly.
Okay. Is there someone in that group that wanted to speak? All right, please come forward.
Hi, my name is Mian Trudeau. I am actually a property owner, plus I am a leasing director. I lease a number of commercial centers in Mesa, so I have quite a bit of experience with how the market is playing out right now. As you may or may not be aware, the adjacent center has over 33,000 square feet of vacant space right now. Tenancies are weak, and the landlord is having a very difficult time leasing the space out. The landlord does not want to invest any money into their center, which is why it continues to fall into a worsened state of disrepair. Red Mountain, who I do work for, has continually improved their properties. They've remodeled Westwood. I don't know if any of you are aware of that, but when they first purchased it, it was completely remodeled. They leased it to a number of national tenants. Recently, we just finalized the deal with Fresh and Easy. You may have been to their opening, and that was very exciting for us. We're very pleased with that tenant. Red Mountain did take a hit. They took a loss with the prior tenant to be able to achieve that tenancy, but it was the right thing to do for the center. Peter Piper Pizza is leaving the center. They are going to our competition. They're going to Riverview, and there are rumors that other tenants are talking to the owners of Riverview, and that is what is happening. And so we as a landlord are trying to keep the center fully occupied, because it doesn't work. You know, if there are vacancies in the center, everybody wants to leave. You'll end up with a center like what is beside us. It will become vandalized, and it's much worse to have a vacant center than it is to have, you know, a decent retailer like Max at Pond. They're in our center at Mesa and Southern, and they're a wonderful tenant. There is absolutely no issues with them whatsoever. All of the other tenants, they don't see a negative to having Maxit in the center. They see it as a positive. We are extremely happy with them. We would do deals with them anywhere because they're an excellent operator, and they do rise above other pawn shops. On a personal perspective, I'm one of those people on the weekend who scour garage sales, vintage shops, consignment shops, pawn shops. I will not enter pawn shops that sell guns or pornography. Maxit is not one of those. It's a great place for people to go when they can't pay full retail, and I think that's what they have to offer the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, let me go ahead and ask the spokesperson then that has been, I think, designated Stephanie Wright. Is that correct? Would you come forward? And I have quite a pile of cards here, too, that I'll read off in a little bit, but I think that did not wish to speak, but appreciate you being that spokesperson for them. So,
well,
please.
You know me. Sometimes I'll take 10 minutes, but it won't be 10 minutes.
Right.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, and Council members, my name is Stephanie Wright. I reside at 535 North Orange Street in Mesa. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I'm here to ask you to refuse a council use permit to Mr. Brad Shane and Maxit Pawn, who wish to lease the space now occupied by Peter Piper Pizza at 1234 West University. As I sat in the planning and zoning meeting, I believe it was December 3rd, the thought came to me that all too often in these meetings, we focus on the zoning issues and whether a business has met the minimum requirements to qualify for a use permit, when we should be giving more consideration to the weightier matter of planning in some of these cases. A wise man said anciently that where there is no vision, people perish. Mesa Grande Community Alliance has had a vision for West Mesa since 2001 and since 1993 when we were part of Building a Healthier Mesa. Mesa Grande is designated as a sub-character area in the Mesa General Plan, and much of the area within Mesa Grande is also included in one of the 8 economic activity areas in the General Plan. We have always supported the General Plan and have worked tirelessly on projects such as the light rail and the West Main Revitalization Project. We work closely with the police department to stem crime in our neighborhoods. We are currently working with code compliance and the new code team effort. We are trying to organize block watches throughout entire West Mesa. And now we are turning our attention to the reuse of the Banner Mesa building and also the AT&T building at Alma School and University. We have supported the city in its efforts to revitalize West Mesa, and of course have always encouraged the city to adopt and aggressively implement Mesa Grande's goals and policies to ensure community sustainability. Negative perception is always our reality to fight in West Mesa. Please help our efforts this evening by voting against a council use permit for Maxit Pond. Thank you.
I'm going to have the vice mayor, who has had an opportunity to skim through the cards, read the names of the people that Stephanie is has the potential to represent. If I'll still ask if there's other speakers, but would you please read those?
Yes, I have Patricia Ivey, who is opposed to the pawn shop, Karen Graham, who is opposed, Gwen Guthrie, opposed, Mary Ann Ellertson, who is opposed, Howard Chambers, opposed, Alan Ellertson, opposed, Zan Ellertson, opposed, Linda Lloyd, opposed, Keith Crandall, opposed, Carolyn Crandall, opposed, C.G. Wenzel, opposed, Norman Johnson, opposed, Kathy and Gary Rogers, opposed, Carol Boyle, opposed, Dave Richens, opposed, Tanya Collins, opposed, Owen Layton, opposed, Carol Abrams, opposed, Tyler Montague, opposed, Jenny Richardson, opposed, Ralph Smith, opposed, Diane Woods, opposed, Becky Tubbs, opposed, Michelle Stalker is in support but did not wish to speak. I also have Mark Ransom, who should have been read, I believe, Mayor, as supporting.
Okay.
And also, it would appear that Bob Blair also should have been read in support. Is that correct, Mr. Blair? Should have been read in support. Additionally, Mayor, there were several others here who were listed as potential speakers. Ernie Johnson, were you being represented by Stephanie, or were you still wishing to speak? Okay, if you'd just hold for a minute, please. Greg Woods. Were you being represented, or did you still wish to speak?
I still wish to speak.
Okay. Steve Pitts, were you being represented, Mr. Pitts, or did you wish to speak?
Yes.
You're still wanting to speak? Okay. And Doug Smith, were you being represented, or did you wish to speak?
Represented.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. So you still have those speakers.
Okay. Let me call these three up, and then I'd like the applicant to get the... As we typically do in zoning cases, you'll have the last turn at this. So, all right. Ernie Johnson.
Mayor Hawker and members of the City Council. I'm Ernie Johnson. I live in Mesa Drive in Brown. And I just want to vocally express my extreme opposition to providing another pawn shop in West Mesa. I strongly oppose it, and I support Stephanie and her comments. Thank you.
Okay. Greg Woods and Stephen Pitts.
Honorable Mayor Hawker, Vice Mayor Walters, and council members. My name is Greg Woods. I live at 1426 West Pepper Place in Mesa, and I'm a member of the Pepper Place neighborhood. I'm opposed to this action. The Planning and Zoning Board recommends denial. West Mesa is oversaturated with pawn shops. We have 20% of the pawn shops and 7% of the land area of the city. We're working very hard to revitalize our neighborhood. This pawn shop will be a detraction from that effort. In addition, city pawn permits last forever. If there's a change of ownership of the pawn shop, there will be no review from the city, and the city will not be able to stop the sale. For these reasons, I ask you respectfully to deny this council use permit. Thank you.
Stephen Pitts.
Mayor, Council, you know, apparently those that are in favor of this didn't do their homework and not aware that the council paid $84 million to get one of the largest gun shops in the country in West Mesa. I thought that was rather amusing. And then especially when some of the businesses complained that people and businesses are leaving and going north to that same subsidized shopping center. Anyhow, the point at hand, I've been a resident of that neighborhood for 50 plus years. I remember when that corner was a field, farmland. Mesa is my home. West Mesa is my home. And I've been concerned for years about the deterioration of it. And I just would like to see, I joked earlier that if they were going to have a payday loan or a check cashing facility, maybe we should complain and ask them to divide it into three so we could get three more. It seems like our neighborhood has attracted that type of business. And I know that the economic wheels drive the city. They help pay for the services that you and I enjoy each day. But at the same time, it's the neighborhoods where we raise our children and what have you. And I was a little offended, and I mentioned that we paid to get the largest gun shop here. My forefathers came on the Mayflower, and I think every generation since then has probably owned a gun. And I'm not so sure what we need to be up here slamming gun shops for. Thank you.
Mr. Shane?
Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for this opportunity. I guess I'm hearing all the opposition, and obviously I'm very empathetic and sensitive to it. Again, we have 300 employees with families. We have built a very, very reputable, successful business because we service a tremendous amount of the community. You have 20% of the population that is unbanked. They can't go to the father, brother, sister, bank, they can't get a Visa card, they can't get a MasterCard, they can't get a checking account. They depend on our service. And those people deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and that's what we do. These other pawn shops, I assure you, I don't want to walk in them either. This is why we started this company, is to change the way people think about pawn shops. And I'm absolutely committed to it, as well as my employees. And we will do that, and we will raise the image of all pawn shops in the area, and or they'll go out of business because they can't compete. And I personally don't have anything against guns. It's just we don't believe in them
for our company, sir.
We try to have a more, you know, family-friendly atmosphere. But I assure you that we are not just another pawn shop. You know, I didn't start this company to be another pawn shop. I'm degreed in physics. I take my business very seriously. We have many employees in our company that have been with us 10 to 12 years. This is because it's a great place to work, and you know, we're committed to what we're doing. I do understand the opposition, but I assure you that we will change the way people think about pawn shops in that community. And in fact, I believe some pawn shops may go away because of it. Anyway, thank you for your consideration.
Okay.
I beg your pardon.
Okay, we'll make note of that, Becky. Thank
Please
you.
Excuse me, Becky. I'm sorry I got that wrong.
That's why I had her do it.
My fault.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I do want to thank everyone that came this evening and the way you conducted yourself. We want to get the information, both sides, and I appreciate both sides being civil and letting the discussion take place. So thank you very much for the way you conducted this evening's meeting. So, were there any other? We have had spokespersons. We've had concluding remarks. I'd like to go ahead now and shut down the discussion and have the deliberations amongst the council members. Certainly. You want to ask a question? Mr. Truitt.
I have a question, I think, for the applicant.
All right.
The merchandise you sell, is most of it pawned, or do you actually also bring in merchandise that you've purchased elsewhere?
Actually, it's mostly pawned, and then we do buy. But I will tell you that 80% of the people that get loans from us pick them up. Only 20% default. And again, another fallacy about the business. This is a national average as well as our average. So yes, it is the defaulted merchandise, but again, that's only 20% of what we loan on. Again, people depend on our service.
Well, you made a point about having merchandise available at a lower cost. I just didn't know how big a part of your business that was.
It's actually substantial. It's we'll do about $35 million in revenue this year, and 27 of it is from the retail side of the business.
So about $1 million per store?
Yeah, roughly. Depends on the store, but yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Tom?
I have a question for the John first and then the applicant. John, in reading the minutes of the, or somewhere in the materials, there was reference made to some kind of special condition that we can attach to this so that it only applies to this particular owner. And I remember when I got on the council, that had been done before I got here, and then there was a change of ownership, and we actually had to approve the council use permit for that new owner. Is that something that's still available to us, or have we lost that flexibility?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, the conditions of approval that were introduced a couple of weeks ago, item number 4, on that includes the council use permit is non-transferable and terminates upon the transfer of the property to any other operator other than Max at Pond. So we have included that should you approve that as one of the conditions.
So it would not run with the land?
That's correct.
And the applicant, I assume that is okay with you? Right. Well,
it may be difficult to sell. But he doesn't own it. He's leasing.
No. He's the owner. The other guy's the leaser.
He's the landlord.
Right. Okay. We're going to argue. Have an argument. We'll get back with you guys a little later. We have. Yeah. We want to.
I was just congratulating how well they did.
Now right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Those are the. You indicated also that you were willing to accept limited hours. Is that one of the conditions, John, that we've approved or that was set forth in the ordinance, or is that something that we would have to add?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, the ordinance includes a stipulation that ties them to their project description and operation plan, and the operation plan currently does have some hours in it. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And those are what you were talking about in terms of limited hours, sir?
Actually, sir, that's our standard hours.
Okay. If they need to be more limited, we're happy to accommodate.
Those didn't seem particularly onerous to me.
They're not.
I'm trying to figure out what you've agreed to that's in our stipulations as opposed to. And that's fine. Thank you.
Okay.
There was obviously nothing in there about removing the word pawn from the name, though, was there?
Not that I've seen.
Okay. And all right. Well, those are only questions I have. I have comments when we get there, but I have no other questions.
Okay. Questions and comments? Vice Mayor.
Mayor, question, comment, motion. I'm going to make a motion for denial for this council use permit. This is not a neighborhood that is saying not in my backyard. This is a neighborhood that's saying our backyard is full. This is a neighborhood that when you look at what has happened over the last several years, they have really turned things around. The surveys of West Mesa are showing that people feel like West Mesa is on the rise. It's getting better. Things are improving. And this is the concern of these neighbors is that having an additional pawn shop, and I will tell you that I have heard nothing negative about this pawn owner. As a matter of fact, very positive things about this pawn owner. But the feeling is that it's an advertisement to people to come shop in their neighborhoods, take things out of their garages or carports or other things and go and sell them in order to raise money. They have seen that, they've had that experience in the past, and they don't want to have that additional larger invitation. And as a result of that, I have made the motion for denial. Thank you.
Okay. Other discussions? Motions? Kyle.
I'm familiar with the Maxit operation at Mesa Drive and Southern. You're doing a very good job, and I commend you for how you're running your operation. The concern I have about this neighborhood is they're not ready for you to be there yet. They want to see your track record in Mesa. And it would not be fair to add, and it is a perception, a very real perception. It's not totally a perception. It's a reality for those who have lived there for so long. And I have a great difficulty supporting another pawn shop because it is a pawn shop. Even if you move pawn off of it, your operation is technically a pawn shop. And I cannot support at this time for a council use permit. But perhaps as you are longer in Mesa and there is an effect as you portray that you possibly can achieve if operating so well that you force the others to either come up or change.
We actually have been operating in Mesa for 7 years.
Yes.
At our other site.
I know.
Oh, okay.
But I'm talking about whether it's perceived or real, you need to convince the neighborhood where you want to go into. That is my concern tonight. And I don't think they're ready for that yet.
Okay. Other discussion, and we're going to limit it unless you're asked a specific question up here. So, all right. Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I can't understand how one of the best, whether it's a pawn company or you take the word pawn out, is better for this neighborhood than 7,700 square feet of empty space. And what that does to that shopping center, what it does to that center, and what it does to the community. So to me, if no one here, and I haven't received, and I've received a lot of emails on this and telephone calls, as we all have, nobody has suggested that this operation isn't what it says it is and doesn't have the kind of quality that it says it has. So at first blush, it seems to me that open, active, vibrant business in that center is better than a vacant Peter Piper pizza place. Number one. Number two, I do think that there's an opportunity to hear the raise the bar for the other pawn shops, and there were 26 of your stores now, and you've told me that you drove out a lot of others that weren't as good as you, and again, I have no evidence to the contrary. I guess most of all, I'm troubled by the saturation argument. I know that it's there, but we don't make that kind of judgment on any other businesses. We don't say there's too many Subways or there's too many Shell stations or there's too many Safeways or there's too many of this. That's what the market decides. And we talked about economic wheels, and those economic wheels will decide whether this pawn shop survives or three of the seedy ones survive. And if this one's there, I think it's much more likely that the three seedy ones will not survive. So I think that's an improvement for the neighborhood. And then again, I also have to fall back on my pretty much my standard rote position that everybody who is here a lot knows, and that is that unless somebody is going to create a health hazard or a nuisance with the use of their property, then I support their right to use it in a lawful manner. So I think this is good for the neighborhood. I appreciate the arguments that are against it, but I think long term it would be good for the neighborhood, and I think it's also the right thing to do with the property rights issues involved. So I will vote against the motion.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Summers.
Actually, we do limit some businesses. We limit tattoo parlors, blood centers, and a few others. We also have a limit on how close these kind of businesses can be to schools, and we don't limit food retailers and some others because they don't have the negative impact or the criminal impact that some of these bad users, not you, sir, but some of the bad users use. And I think that's why in the past we tend to zone them out or require council use permits, because there are bad users in their business, and pawn shops do have a bad reputation
and it's unfortunate for you because, you know, but so many few bad users to the good ones. And it's, what's encouraging is listening to the meetings, and I've had a chance to listen to the planning and zoning meeting and hear your presentation. It sounds like you are one of the better users. And we would like to see you in Mesa, and particularly if you're going to be able to replace some others. I think there's a market to be had here for the fact that there are, I count, somewhere around 28 pawn shops in this general area. One way to get rid of a bad user would be to purchase the council use permit for one of the bad users that currently goes with the land, and then we're one bad user down, and we can start getting rid of them that way. So putting another one in West Mesa just seems to fly in the face of all the things that we have done to date with West Mesa Transit Orient Development, with the Wave Yard vote that we had not too long ago that was overwhelmingly approved. I think we can discern from that the folks here in Mesa who voted have decided that they want to go a better direction, and I'm going to continue to support that. So I'm going to, if there isn't a second, I'll second it. Otherwise, I'll be voting.
Just a second. Vice Mayor. Your punch? Yep, it's in now. Okay, other discussion? Councilmember Truitt.
Council for Eric, or a question for Eric. Does Fresh and Easy support this lease?
Absolutely. Yes, they had to approve it.
They had to approve it?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
I guess my statement is that the whole argument seems to be over concentration, and I think that what that tells me is we've got a bad ordinance here. If we allow them 1,200 feet apart, maybe we should change that to a mile apart if we don't want an over concentration. But if they meet the ordinance that we permit, we're issuing it to a user who we've all agreed is a good user, then why not give that user a use permit? So I'm going to be voting against the motion.
Okay. Anyone else? Councilmember Whalen?
Thank you all for your presentations, and thank you all for your contact throughout the last couple of weeks. Darrell, you bring up something that's very, very interesting to me. This council took on payday loan centers about a year ago, I think it was, and we decided to allow the free market to dictate. The theory being, and I bought the theory at the time, that the bad operators would go away if we allowed the market to dictate it and not have a distance requirement for payday loan centers. Well, I'm here to tell you that I've changed my mind on that, and I've already discussed this with one member of the council, and probably will be asking for a reconsideration since I was a vote on that side when we last discussed this. I look at this the same way. I think enough is enough, and I think that when you've got a community that's fought so hard to come back from being so down, that it's the little things that make a difference to them. And I believe that the little things are what keep them out there pushing and pushing and pushing to make their community better. So I'm going to support the Vice Mayor's denial motion this evening, but I'm also going to, in my last 6 months on this council, try to bring in some distance regulations for this type of business. Now, maybe there's ex post facto, we can't deal with it for the ones that are already there. But I think for future businesses, and there's several others that, you know, I'd like to see the massage parlors start to be limited out there, quite frankly. That causes me more concern than your pawn shops. But we have a lot of work to do in this community in that respect. And I think the distance separation is the way to go. And on this particular case, you know, I'm sorry you're losing tenants to Riverview. You know, this council worked its tail off to get Riverview, and it really wasn't $84 million, sir. That's a number that VBO threw out there, and it stuck. It really isn't anywhere near that amount of money. But it happens. New places. I think there is a market for your center. It's still a sound neighborhood around it, and I think the neighbors can help you bring tenants that are appropriate to your center. And I think if you work with those neighbors in a strong way, that they will help you lease your space. I hope you find somewhere else in the city, sir, because I know you're a good operator. Thank you.
Okay, let me give you my take on it, although I don't think you need it at this point. Everybody can count to four, but... Are you still arguing? All right. Now, just keep it in the corner, all right? This is one of those decisions where you can, where I'm torn both ways, because I realize how much the neighborhood has done and is continuing to do to make sure that West Mesa becomes a revitalized and comes back and even stronger than what it is today. So there's a lot of work going in, and a lot of it is the perception aspect that I think some people have come by. Whether the Maxit and the setting a new standard for a pawn shop in that area is a real positive that would draw out the others, I'd love to believe you and say go for it, but I don't quite have that leap of faith that that's what would happen. So with the work that the neighborhood has done and is continuing to do, I'm going to swallow hard and say that I'm going to vote for denial, even though normally my instinct is to let a business that owns property and that wants to make it, and it's a legal endeavor to go forward. I just am going to say if the neighborhood stays together and it keeps coming back, and this is something that they think from a perception level is very important to keep that going in that direction, that I'm going to support them, because it is our choice whether we grant a special use permit or not. And that's why we're having this discussion tonight. I think Maxit is a great operator. I think welcoming in the city of Mesa. I just think that this is not the right neighborhood to open up a store. So I will be supporting the motion for denial. Okay. Any other comments? We have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Councilmember Summers for denial. Would you please vote? The vote passes 5-2 with Councilmember Truitt and Councilmember Rawls voting nay. Thank you, everyone, for attending and the way you conducted yourselves this evening. Okay, the item number 9 is discuss, receive public comment, and take action on the following ordinance introduced at a prior council meeting and resolution. It is item 9A and is take action on the following ordinance. It's amending Title 4, Chapter 1 of the Mesa City Code relating to the Administrative Code as recommended by the General and Economic Development Committee. And I think that is the one that we had the discussion on downstairs that I got confused on earlier on the shell buildings, fire standards, and such. Do we have a little discussion presentation? Please.
Good evening, Mayor. Terry Williams, Building Safety Director. To clarify, Mayor, this item before you this evening is the changes to the administrative portion of our building codes of the city, wherein we have, by and large, the requirements for the various fees and the way we calculate them and so on. And as such, this went both to the General and Economic Development Committee of Council, as well as to the Audit and Finance Committee, because of the fees portion of that, which is the next item, which is the resolution on just the fees. So for clarity, it did go to both of those committees. It did receive favorable recommendation from both committees. I understand there is an issue or a question about the leads element of the ordinance. That doesn't show up in the fee change itself, but it does show up in the ordinance. And it was a proposal by staff that we move forward, take the very first step towards a green building program for the city of Mesa, albeit a small step, to encourage property owners to consider having their buildings meet the LEED standard. It's a very harsh standard, a very high level of standard, but if they were able to meet the certified level, which is the lowest of the LEED's certification, that we would rebate 50% of the premium that they would have paid if they had their project expedited under our current rules, and 100% if they reached a higher level, which are silver, gold, and platinum levels. Again, it's the beginning of a program that the staff hopes to be bringing to council later this year that will outline several other elements that we might be able to do as a city to encourage green building within Mesa.
Was there some discussion about what the economic or benefit is to a city to have gold standard green buildings as opposed to not?
Yes, Mayor, I think the answer to that is that in general, we all recognize the long-term benefits as a city as well as the individual property owners, because the city will benefit if there's a reduction in water usage, if there's a reduction in electric usage, and so on.
Explain to me how that works. I thought we received and charged revenue and actually made a profit on water and electric.
We do that as well, Mayor, but there's an upper limit, as we all know, to the city's ability to provide those services. So we all are encouraged to conserve both water and electricity.
Okay. All right. So we're on item 9A.
9A, that's correct.
Is there any other input that you'd like to give us at this time?
No, I thought that was the only question that was still before the council, but I'll answer any others you have.
Okay, we'll get into some discussion then, because I think we have some philosophical differences probably on the council currently. Vice Mayor, and then Tom.
I just want to make sure that I know what we're voting on 9A and 9B, because now people have said enough different things that I thought what we were voting on 9A actually had to do with the LEED certification. When I read the backup material, that's what I thought I was looking at.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, that's correct. The 9A is the ordinance change. The ordinance change is where you find the information concerning the incentive for the LEED. It's only one part of several dozen changes that are being proposed.
Okay, well,
under.
A few minutes ago, somebody said 9A was about the stuff, the fire things and all those things. And I just want to make it clear.
No, that was 8A and B.
That's what I thought, too.
That's correct.
And that's why these guys are trying to confuse me. I see what's going on here.
Some more
trying
confusion?
To gaslight
me. Let me call on Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
The minutes of the meeting talk about the fact that the administrative code needed was being amended to reflect the same fire suppression requirement for shell buildings as provided in the fire code and the building code. Is that not the case? Isn't that what 9A is? Isn't that the administrative code mirror of the building code and the fire code?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, no, that's not correct. If that's what the minutes state, that's an error. Because it is 9B, which are the building code changes that reflect the fire code changes that were passed under 8B under 8A.
Well, let me just read the second paragraph of the meeting on November 19th, which was the second one we had. The first one because you came up toward the end of the first one, and the comment period didn't end until the 19th, and so we said we're going to come back on the 19th. And in response to questions from Chairman Rawls, Mr. Williams advised that no additional public input was received during the comment period. He advised that the provision in this agenda item, which is the administrative code, regarding the increased fire suppression requirement for shell buildings is identical to the provisions proposed in the Mesa Fire and Building Codes under agenda item number 2. Now, is there nothing in the administrative code that's being amended to reflect fire suppression requirements for shell buildings?
Mayor, Councilman Rawls, that's correct. There is nothing in this admin code changes that are reflective of that. They were part of the building code change.
Because I voted no in the committee because I was told at the committee that it was. So you're telling us tonight that it's not.
It is not. And if that's an error, that's a mistake on our part.
It's something we probably should have checked in the minutes. But
yeah, I missed that.
I couldn't remember why I voted no on the administrative code, except when I just grabbed the minutes from Darrell and said, and I read right here, and then I go forward and I say right after that, Chairman Rawls stated that for that reason he would vote not to recommend this proposal to the council.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So if there's nothing in the administrative code that deals with a shell building, then I have no problem with 9A. I still have problems with 9B, which is the incentive, right, for the LEED.
The actual wording for the incentive is in 9A.
So both of them deal with the incentive program. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll still have a problem with 9A and 9B. Just my 9A opposition will be for a different reason than I thought it was on November 19th. See, this time I'm not having an argument with Darrell. I'm having an argument with myself. And I'm not sure who's going to win, but I'm going to vote no.
And let's, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Vice Mayor has the floor.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was beginning to think I'd read the wrong items. But this has to do with super expedited. So the people would have to come in, be requesting super expedited in order, they're going to be paying the base level of fees anyway. So what you're really doing is you are giving them super expedited, am I giving it the right terminology? An expedited, you're giving them a regular rate for an expedited process. Councilmember Jones, I think, made the comment that he hoped that, that expedited would just be the standard of the day. But people will still be paying the base rate fee for these LEED certification. It will be that they will get the...
premium.
The premium service for the regular fee.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, that's correct.
Okay.
We're talking about rebating either 50% or 100% of the premium charge, not the base permit fees.
And that's what I wanted to make sure was clear to everyone, since the minutes, obviously, what we all thought happened and we were there. That was my recollection, so I wanted to just make sure that that was still correct. Thank you.
Where did this suggestion come from to do rebates for a business that wants to have a silver or gold standard building? I thought they did that because that's what their corporation believed in, or that they thought that long-term there would be some energy savings. Why is there a look to the city to get involved in this at all? Why is that style of building different than our typical building? I don't quite understand why we even got engaged in this process.
Mayor, just what you said is true. There is considerable advantage, we believe, to the property owner. But as the other Valley communities are doing, Scottsdale most notably, they are looking for ways in which the city can encourage that. Scottsdale, for instance, mandates that their own city buildings comply with the LEED certification as a minimum level. We're all looking at that maybe perhaps as a possibility for Mesa. Again, this is early in the process. Building safety and an ad hoc committee of other staff members from other various departments are looking at lots of different ways in which the city could encourage more of this type of construction within the city.
I just have difficulty with city incentives to building, private building owners to do this as some function of government. I just don't quite understand that, because there doesn't seem to be a direct correlation. Again, if water usage goes down the way we're currently financed, at least, it doesn't make sense. So we're penalizing ourselves twice. So I don't quite get it yet. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I think it has to do with moving towards being a more sustainable community. And while you're correct on the financial model, the idea, I mean, we go out there and we promote all the time, you know, water, use it wisely. We have this campaign that's ongoing because we recognize the fact that even though it's a renewable resource, at times it's a very scarce resource. We live in the desert. And these other cities have been creating additional incentives to encourage people to move in the direction of LEED certification in terms of creating more sustainable developments. But the city of Mesa has not had the money to move in that direction. We, in the foreseeable future, I don't see us having the money to move in that direction. I don't even know if that's the direction we would want to go policy-wise. What this would do is it would say, you can actually, the incentive we're going to give you is we're going to get your stuff through the process faster. Basically, that's what becomes the incentive.
Right. And if somebody wants to advertise that they're a LEED certified and that's where you want to shop or use their services, I think the consumer can do that directly. I just have trouble with the government getting in any incentive program to recognize those particular type of buildings. So I'm not going to be supporting this one. Councilmember Reynolds.
It's a little more than I think than what Vice Mayor Walters just said, because when we expedite the process, it costs us more than it does for the regular processing, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and that's why we charge a premium. So we're going to be spending more staff time. It's going to cost us more to process it, and the rebate's going to be that. So it's an actual dollar rebate. It's not just we're going to do the same work, same cost to us. We're just not going to charge you. We're actually going to give them money that they would have otherwise that they are otherwise spending to us to process their application faster.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, that's correct. That's the incentive part of
right.
This proposal.
If we were to, and I know we probably couldn't do this, but if we were to say, if you're going to do a LEEDS thing, we'll do it faster, but it's not going to cost us anymore, then that to me would be fine. But here, you're actually saying it's going to cost us more. It's going to cost the taxpayers of the community mm-hmm. as a whole more money to process your application faster, and we're going to give you that difference back because you're doing a particular thing with your building. And I agree with the mayor, that's not appropriate.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second on this one?
Yes.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Let me ask a follow-up question, because I agree, Tom, that was a better explanation than I gave. But is it necessarily going to cost more if we have the staff time to do it? Can, you know, if you can rearrange your staff to do it, does it necessarily cost more?
Mayor, Vice Mayor.
No,
I'm not sure you want an answer, and I have a problem.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, the answer is that for us to do a premium service, there is an additional cost to the city, to the city staff, either through, because most typically we handle those by either additional outsourcing, so we have additional staff time available to do them, or we do them at overtime with our own staff members and so on. So there is a direct additional cost for a project that is expedited, or as we've also proposed in this draft, the super expedite. There is a cost.
And what are you seeing in terms of people bringing LEEDS buildings forwards at this point in time?
At this point, there's something about 24 in the entire state. So it's a very, you know, small percentage of buildings that are being built to the standards today. We do see this as something that's at the beginning edge, the leading edge, if you will, in green building, and that Arizona is a state that will very definitely benefit from this moving forward into the future.
Okay. You do have a second on the motion, but
correct.
I guess here's my issue. I supported this when it was in the committee. The concern that I have is that I have been looking at the budgetary numbers that have been coming out for the last little while, and the concern that I have is that if there's a budget impact, and I didn't see a number on here for budget impact on it, my position for quite some time has been that if something has an impact to the budget, that we should bring it forward in the context of all the decisions that we're making about the budget. So my preference would be to delay this at this point in time until we can look at all the budget items that we're going to be having coming forward.
Mayor?
Is there something having to do with our needing to do it right now because of the whole building code thing, Chris?
Well, by not doing this, we'll have to reintroduce, bring this item back without it.
I understand.
So we would have to do that. And also, let me just suggest to the council, in addition to the issues we're kind of getting caught talking about, the financial impact and what that might mean, I think it probably would be beneficial, even for staff, to bring back a discussion about council. What does LEEDS mean? What does that really imply in the process? And what does that standard require? So, you know, is it related to water conservation or energy conservation? I almost feel like the cart got before the horse here in this discussion. We're kind of jumping into this administrative kind of incentive package. Maybe we need to step back and talk a little more about what LEEDS means, the sustainability issue, and have that dialogue first. Then we can decide whether or not it really has the value that we want to try to encourage in the city. And there may be other approaches, methodologies that we can do that. So maybe that would be my recommendation if we're kind of stuck where we are, and then we can bring this back in a workshop session and talk. Let's get back maybe to the more basics about what is it, what does it mean, and then we can talk about the incentives.
Well, I would prefer that, but I don't know how the motion maker
withdraw the motion. Fine.
Okay. Councilmember Jones is withdrawn.
All right.
I concur that maybe more discussion would be beneficial. I do know that there's a building that's at the Riverview, the office complex, that was planning on going LEED. And that might have been what facilitated this action coming forward. I don't know, but if there may be some other expectation someplace out there in the building community by some builders, but you know, until it passes the council, it's not enforced. So I have no problem delaying it, but I'm still going to run into that philosophical difficulty unless the city can show me that it's to our best interest to do this, and how we benefit long term by doing it. And I'm not sure I grasp that currently with what I know in the next 20 years of budget forecasts. Tom?
I agree, but I'm trying to think procedurally, what do we need to do? We probably just need to not even continue this item, just have no action on it,
right.
Reintroduce the changes to the administrative code in 2 weeks without the LEEDS incentive, and then vote on it in 2 weeks after that. Is that the plan?
Correct.
And then I think we just take no action tonight on this item and let it die in its current form.
One clarification, though, Terry. Does this provision also affect 9B? Do we need to reintroduce 9A and 9B?
They need to be done in conjunction. Otherwise, the...
You leave a gap.
Coming back now, the schedule of fees would be changed and become effective February the 4th, and the ordinance itself that creates those changes would be effective at a later date. I think we need to pull them both.
Yeah. Both. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right. I think I'm getting a feel to just bring this back, take the lead aspect out of the write-up.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
There's no objection. Let's just handle it that way under item number 9. So that's 9A and 9B. Next item is on page 10, item number 12, which is items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
No request to speak, Mayor.
Move for adjournment.
Second.
I have a motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.